that's why I had to do the campaign setting in 5e, because it was like, if I'm doing it for somebody other than just me, I'm doing it for him. Mm-hmm. So I've mm-hmm. really got to like make it where it's going to be like, yeah, my dad did this.
Well met, adventurers. My name is Lee.
I'm Joe, and welcome to Mage Productions.
So for this week's episode, we have a very special, I guess, Kickstarter episode, because we're doing those now, which have
apparently
been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Apparently so, yeah. So we have Brian Collin, founder of Creature Curation. Hello, sir.
Hello, and thank you for having me on today's quest.
Oh, thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
I'm really excited about this Kickstarter.
Well, thank you.
So excited. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I sure hope so.
I backed the last one and I got all of my stuff in like 2 weeks ago or so. And
oh, fantastic.
It is
good.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's yeah, so good to hear.
All right. At Creature Curation, they have these cards called cartography cards, cartography, which is super crafty name. But the cards are absolutely amazing and fantastic and such a good product. And I use them for lots of different things. Mm-hmm. And they're really
Thank
cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so thrilled that they're getting into people's hands now. It's very exciting. I actually have a pallet arriving to me hopefully Friday, because Norse Foundry has been shipping all of them out to the backers, and they're sending a giant load up to my place in Georgia so that I can put it into my warehouse and then drive a ton of them to Origins next week.
Nice.
A literal ton.
I'm sure it's going to feel like that on my old man back.
Probably. All right. So before we get into the Kickstarter stuff, Brian, why don't you kind of talk us through what Creature Curation is, all about World of Revelo, and all of that fantastic stuff.
Awesome. Sure, I'd love to. So Creature Curation kind of evolved from where I from when I first started making these strange monster sculptures. It was way back in 2009 when I did my first large monster taxidermy feast, and that's where I first decided that I needed to create a world for it, because everything I grew up on, like I started playing D&D when I was in fourth grade, and I'm old, so that was somewhere in the late 80s, and so everything always had like a storytelling element to it. And around the same time was when I first discovered comic books, like G.I. Joe and Transformer comic books were what started me. And then I started getting into Marvel and then into stranger like Vertigo type titles, and eventually ended up self-publishing comic books. So there's always seemed to be like a narrative behind the art that I've created. So when I first started doing sculptures, I decided that every piece that I made had to have something more to it. So it's not just like, hey, look at that pretty weird thing that's on the wall. No, there's got to be more depth to it. And I didn't want somebody just to be like, well, I think it's this. I wanted to like help at least start their imagination going. And at that time, I didn't have the World Revelo yet, but I created the very first creature I created was a what I called a Reaper. And it had like a more animalistic head on top and a more humanoid type face in its torso. And at the time, my wife was pregnant with our son. So like and we'd also been watching these like TV shows about parasites living inside of you. So there was a whole lot of like stuff going on with like eating on yourself and the idea of like there was another body inside of my wife. And so I was like, all right, let's got to do something with my kid. And so Revelo is his middle name, Oliver, backwards, so that he could add on to the world later. But over the course of that time, I've been building out all these creatures. I took a couple of years off, but now I've got like probably close to 70 species that I've created just through sculptures alone. And in the past couple of years, it's grown, and I went from just being me and my art to creating Creature Curation, because I wanted it to be a bigger brand that could then do things like publish role-playing games and have other people involved more than just me. So last year when I had the idea for cartography I was discussing it with Norse Foundry, it was like, okay, now's the time where it's got to be more than just me. I can't just do writing and art, and you know, my drawing and painting skills, they're okay, but they're not where they need to be for a professional level. My sculpting, I can be like, yeah, that stuff's all right. But my illustrative skills just aren't there yet. So then I brought in Carrie Drake to do the art on things, all the RPG content. I brought in Isaac Skaggs, who came in through a friend, Nelson Spratt, who was helping do some of the writing and some of the brainstorming and concepting. And so now we have a small group of people that are actually like helping build this world out more. And I've got like Doug Vahovic from Nerdarchy, who's doing a lot of the editing for us. And my wife is kind of like the brand master over everything. She calls my bluff on things and is like, you know, this is lame. This is bad. This doesn't work. And she also knows the world so well that she edits everything that I write to make sure that if there's something out of whack, it all kind of lines up properly before it goes on to Doug.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's a really cool team that you've built over. It sounds like not a very long time.
No, the team build hasn't been long at all. And I'm really hoping that we can continue to grow it and keep putting out great stuff. I mean, from the concept of cartography to when the initial idea hit, to testing like two decks at Origins last year, to then kickstarting it and fulfilling it, we put out a lot of stuff. And we've also managed to do a couple of adventure modules for 5e that we sent out to like RPG Crate subscribers. And so now we have a couple of printed modules that we'll have at Origins this year. And I'm just kind of diving in full force.
That is the way to do it right there.
Well, I had the idea, like when I first thought about doing project pieces, you don't really make an impact at a show if you only have one or two things. You have to come and feel like you are a presence that's like making an impact, or people don't like, they don't see the value and they don't think you're going to be around long enough to actually invest their money in you. Mm-hmm. So the bigger presence you have, the greater the chance that they're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to spend my $10, $20, $50 with you.
Sure. Yeah. I think that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So why don't you jump into the Kickstarter that you have coming up on June 18th, which is coming up very quickly.
Yes, it is.
And what all that entails.
So for a while now, we've been building out this world and we wanted to create a campaign setting that other people could play in. So one of the things that I think is the most unique about the world is all of the different races that people haven't encountered. Like, I've been playing D&D or in other RPGs like Fate for so long that all of my friends, especially with some of the groups I used to play with, they tended to like be like, well, I've seen that before. I know how to kill that. So when I make my sculptures and my monsters, I make things that they don't have any idea what they are. So with the Revelo world, the world campaign, there's all these new creatures, all these new playable races that people just don't know the stats for. So it's a great way to have that kind of new experience and bring a new sort of joy and fantasy to the game. And there's a couple of different ways that you can actually, there's going to be a lot of different storylines that you can adopt to your campaign if you play in the campaign setting. Some actually being traditional like D&D races like elves and dwarves that have actually come and shipwrecked on this giant continent, and they're in a new world and discovering it for the first time, where there's all these indigenous races and people and cultures that will be have a sense of familiarity but be completely different at the same time. And so with the Kickstarter, we've got a campaign setting book and we have a bestiary book, and I wanted to separate the two because I wanted people that might just want monsters and run it in their own homebrew campaign or in their own setting to be able to pick that up without doing a giant tome that's just too expensive to buy. Because, you know, with the campaign setting and the monsters, it would be a pretty beefy book. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Also, we're throwing a couple of the playable races in the bestiary book, some of the more evil aligned races, so that people can get a taste for that. If they like it, then they might be inclined to go back later and get the campaign setting.
Nice.
And we've got a bunch of other things that go with it. I've got these clear plastic, like acrylic pawns that are rigid. They're about like a 0.125 thick, and they're printed with all the monster art. And I've got the first 40 samples that were printed, and they're really, really rad. I couldn't afford to do 40 to 80 miniatures, pay for sculpting, pay for molds and all that stuff. So this was a much more economical way. And I like them better than like the paper pawns that some companies do, just because they have there's a clearness to it, and they have a almost like a higher value to them just based on the texture and the feel of them. And it's right. it's pretty rad seeing my kids and seeing some other kids sitting around playing with the samples that I've gotten.
That's amazing.
And of course, we've got lots of other things thrown in there, like monster decks of cards so that you can quickly, easily show players at the table what the monsters look like with stats on the back. We've got a GM screen that we're working on. We've got a fancified slipcase edition. Ooh. We've got some special things coming. Eris is doing some custom dice rolling trays. We've got one Kickstarter exclusive. And I got the samples of those, and they're really, really well done. The quality's great.
Her trays are the best.
Absolutely top notch.
Yeah.
And we've got a couple other things that are coming down the road that I'm going to talk about once the Kickstarter is actually live. Some other products that we're teaming up with other industry companies on to make some more magic happen.
Cool.
Very nice. So in the BCR, you're going to have full stats and everything like that, kind of like the monster manual, or...
Yes. It'll have lore about the creatures, environments, talk about the regions that they would be in, and then also, I'm sure, like, if you weren't playing them in Revelo, what sort of climate they'd be in, full stats. So I, for the longest time, I was playing Fate, but my son, I'd keep giving him Fate books, and there just aren't enough, like, there's not enough crunch in there for a nine-year-old. So, like, every time I'd give them to him, I'd give him PDFs of third-party stuff, but I'd see him sitting with the D&D books and just poring over them and, like, just in his bed, just looking through them. And, like, last year he got the Kobold Press's Creature Codex, and that's, like, propped up in, like, a place of honor in his room. So it's, like... That's why I had to do the campaign setting in 5e, because it was like, if I'm doing it for somebody other than just me, I'm doing it for him. So I've really got to, like, make it where it's going to be like, yeah, my dad did this.
That's awesome. Wow. So how many monsters do you have in your monster manual, monster book?
So we have it around 76 right now, and then we're going to have stretch goals to unlock more. Because the way we've set up the Kickstarter, we're still developing all the content for it. And because we've had enough successful Kickstarters in the past, the fulfillment date we put far enough away to give us enough time to finish developing it out. So part of it's going to kind of depend on how far we get with the finances, because I'd love to keep adding more to it. And plus, as new conventions keep lining up, like if I sell sculptures at Origins, I need to make more creatures for Gen Con. And usually I like to make new creatures because I get bored doing the same thing over and over again. So it's like, hey, here's some more. And then Isaac has some ideas for creatures, and then Carrie illustrates them. There's a handful that I've never even sculpted before that I guess I should probably visit sometime.
Yeah. Cool. So your campaign module, you said that there's a few different tracks, I guess, that the players can go down. Could you kind of dive into a little bit more about those?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of different themes that are going on, and I kind of look at the world setting almost like a season of a TV show and what the underlying current themes are, thinking that, okay, as people play, they're going to shift and change based on the campaign that they play in, and they're going to shift and change on the games that we're playing, me and my friends are playing. So one of the major themes that's currently going on is that one of the Outlanders, or people that wrecked their ship on this giant continent, has kind of taken over one of the major cities. And he's also raising an army of these vile species called Grey Skrulls. And his whole idea is that he's going to try and keep conquering more and more of this giant continent. So there's that kind of inner, there's that war aspect that could be one possibility. There's also a group of characters called Keepers of Secrets. There's 18 of them, and they all have a fragment of one of the original gods inside of their chest. It's a magical piece that one sect of creatures believes, if they reform all of these fragments, it will bring back their fallen god. So the Keepers of Secrets are currently being hunted by this sect, trying to steal these pieces back to reform their god. And people across the land revere these keepers of secrets in really high regard, because as the fragment comes out of their chest and gets passed on to the next keeper, all their memories and everything that they know goes into them. And so this fragment, the reason the main god, Credona, when she broke her shattered her sister's arm and put these pieces in, her idea was that if she put these pieces into other people and it absorbed the memories and information, she would somehow become more compassionate by learning from all these pieces. So that's one of the themes, another one that's going on. And then tying into a lot of the unrest with the Outlanders, there's also a lot of different like social hierarchy structure within different regions of the area, like the floating forest, the Cacothralis bird-like creatures that live high atop the floating forest kind of look down on everybody that's below them. I take a lot of influence from kids' books and stuff that I grew up on. Like the whole idea for that was kind of from Yertle the Turtle by Dr. Seuss, where Yertle, like the higher up he got, everything down below him he thought that he was king of. So there's this whole race of creatures up on top that thinks everything that is below them, they kind of rule over. So there's a lot of different kind of angles you can play within the world.
That's so cool.
Thanks.
I was going to ask, like, what really kind of set it apart from other settings and what you thought was the coolest part, but I really think that, like, pieces of the old gods in their chest thing totally blew that question out of the water. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
But that is super, super cool. I'm loving this. I can't wait.
I know. It's gonna be good. Yeah. But I guess to go off of Joe's question, what is your favorite part about this, about the Kickstarter that's coming? Like, what is your favorite piece of it?
Mm-hmm. The favorite piece is really, it's the idea that there's gonna be people out that I don't know playing in some world that came from my imagination. It's so weird, mind-blowing, the idea that other people are interested and excited about playing in my world. I mean, on our Patreon account, I had one of our patrons that was reaching out to me because they're already starting to convert their homebrew campaign to a Revelo campaign. And he's like asking me questions about one of the cities in the underground desert cities. And I'm responding back. And it's just like, wow, there's people they don't know me. They don't. and their friends are going to be playing in Revelo. That's the best part for me. The products, you know, you can make all sorts of different things. The idea that, yeah, I know what a Dryadamus is, or I know what a Priscinolite is, and yeah, I love their prehensile tails. You know, crazy stuff like that. That's what hits my heartstrings.
That's awesome.
That makes sense.
That's got to be a great feeling, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so surreal and weird.
So you've got the bestiary that you're coming out with, and then you said it was like an adventure book. Is it, how much lore are you going to have in there? Is it going to be more of like a setting kind of world book with adventure hooks in it? Or is it going to be more of like written adventure and kind of pick out the lore as you go?
So it's going to be like a full campaign setting where it kind of breaks out the overall story of the world. It's going to have more in-depth about the different regions. There will be subclasses. There will be races. It's kind of more like almost like a player's handbook, if mm-hmm. you will, but just for the world without all the core D&D rules. And then it will have overarching themes that people can have. And like that'll be more towards the back for like the GMs for like how to build campaigns within the world. So mm-hmm. there'll be some pieces with some different important NPCs and important timelines as to what's happened within the history. So it's more of really like a full campaign setting. And then we have stretch goals mapped out that would be more adventures. There'd be adventures along the line. So it just kind of depends on how we go. Cause you know, the Kickstarter goal just covers the cost of manufacturing. It doesn't pay us anything or anything like that. So, you know, we want to try and have it as low as possible and hope that it hits. And then if somehow people like it and love it, then we'll just keep, giving away, like, then we'll do digital content so we don't have to pay for more production, or we'll add to what's already being produced by adding a few more pages here and there.
Cool.
Cool.
There are so many cool monsters. I got in the last Kickstarter, I got the decks and I got the monster book.
Thank you.
And combing through that stuff and that playmat. Sorry, I'm getting like super sidetracked on it because I just got all this stuff and it is super, super awesome. Cool. So if you don't know about it, there are the basically these decks of maps that you can actually like lay out and follow through, or I mean, I use them a lot for just making random dungeons, like shuffle the cards up and lay it out and see where you get to. But there's also monsters and traps and magic items and heroes and NPCs and so much cool stuff. I'm still just like, I'm checking all this out. I can't wait.
Awesome.
So having some lore and some setting to go with this is going to be so cool.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, for real. It's going to be amazing. I'm so excited. So before we let you go, why don't you... can we hear about one of the new playable races that will be available in the books?
Sure. Is there any in particular that you'd like to hear about, or
any of them?
Sure.
Because they're all awesome.
So I talked for a little bit about Persimilites because I mentioned their prehensile tails, and they were just shown. I think it was shared on Twitter today. Their image. Or when this was recorded. So the Persimilites live in the floating forest. So the floating forest is structured into like three main sections. There's the top, there's the forest floor, and there's the root system that dangles down below. And the root system is primarily almost like very blue collar, hardworking people that mine these explosive crystals that grow off of the roots down there. And those are primarily most of the characters down there are Dryadimus, and they're not allowed by Cacothralis law to go up onto the floor of the floating forest. And then on the floor and up in the trees, there are these Persimilite creatures, and they are almost fox-like with these kind of almost small tree antler-like things growing off of them. They have rings around their long tails because I was watching a lot of maybe it was BBC Earth, and we were watching something about like a ring-tailed, I can't remember what they were, but watching how as the world's continents started shifting and they started going to different continents, seeing how they evolved differently. I liked the idea of seeing, okay, what does something like this look like here? And what does it look like in this part of Revelo? So Persimilites have like human hands, but long kind of torsos. And they are very smart and very stoic. And they really kind of pull the strings behind the scenes of the floating forest, even though the Cacothralis, the bird-like people, feel that like they reign up over everything. So the Persimilites are kind of working behind the scenes to pull all those magical strings. And one of the things like Ted, who's going to be playing in an upcoming game that I'm going to stream during the Kickstarter, he's really excited about being a Persimilite because he wants to wield a short sword in its tail.
Of course he does.
Yes,
that's who wouldn't want that.
That is fairly necessary. I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, that's great. Oh, so any ending comments or anything else you would like to kind of say about the Kickstarter or Revelo or creature curation as a whole?
You know, if you're into exploring new fantasy worlds, please check out the Kickstarter. Take a look at it. If it's not your thing, maybe share it just to help spread the word about somebody that's trying to bring their passion into a reality and also bring other people along for the ride. Because, you know, the more people out there that are creating, the more exciting your adventures can be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say being able to kind of seeing your work and seeing that everything that you and your team is doing, the passion really shows through in all of it.
Thank you.
The care and the detail and everything, like, it's amazing and absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I love it all.
Thank you. Yeah. I really, really appreciate that.
So if anyone has any questions for you or wants to kind of keep up with the Kickstarter that's launching on June 18th or find out more about Revelo Creature Curation, where can they find you and all of the goodness?
You can find me personally at the Brian Colon on Twitter. You can find Creature Curate on Twitter. You can find creaturecuration.com. If you happen to hear this before the Kickstarter goes live, you can score yourself a free set of dice if you sign up for it and pledge for a physical reward on day one. Just track that down on the socials because it's pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're crazy busy with everything you have going on.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me.
Origins, which I think when this comes out will be this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
And then you'll be at, I heard you got a booth at Dragon Con.
Yes. So I've done Ooh. Dragon Con in the past. I was in the pop and comics area for a number of years. Then last year I was in Norse Foundry's booth, like kind of with my sculptures on the back wall. And this mm-hmm. year I got my own vendor booth for Creature Curation. So I just found that out today, which is fantastic. I'm thrilled about that because I have so much stuff now. I need a bigger booth. So
yeah. Yes, so much stuff. I yep. think from the time that I saw you at Dragon Con last year to when I saw you at PAX Unplugged, like the stuff that you had to show off just like doubled.
Yes, and it's good. It's like getting gremlins wet at night. It's or after midnight. Or, you know. It's just gonna keep multiplying.
Good.
Yeah. So if you're going to a con, track him down because these sculptures are ridiculous. I'm not gonna lie to you. I saw them last year at Dragon Con, and they are awesome.
Thank you.
They are. Oh, they really
and I'll
are.
Be live sculpting at Origins Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and part of the day Sunday. And wow. the main piece I'm sculpting is going to the charity of Origins choice for the year. So
amazing.
Awesome. Yeah,
it's going to cool. be good times.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. This has been awesome. And mm-hmm. I'm very excited for the Kickstarter.
Very.
Thank you. Thank you,
June
guys.
June 18th. Hit it on day one.
Yes.
June 18th. Get your free dice.
Yes.
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 Do it.
If you would like to interact with us, you can find us on Twitter at @mage_podcast or check out our website, mageproductions.com.
Or if you just want to tell other people how much you love the show and that they should listen, you can leave us a 5-star review, go and review us wherever you get your podcast from. We really love to see those and read what you think.
And we would like to give a huge shout out to our partners and sponsors. First off, Hit Dice. Check them out at hitdicepod.com and on Twitter at hitdicepod.
Also, Kraken Dice. If you're looking for some awesome new dice, you don't have to look any further. Just go check them out, krakendice.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at krakendice. And then when you find your dice that you have to have, use the code MAGE and get yourself 10% off, because who doesn't like 10% off?
And of course, last but not least, sonerdwear.com, a place to find fun clothing and accessories tailored for tabletop geeks and nerds everywhere. They're also on Twitter at sonerdwear. They've really stepped up the entire game for us. They now host all of our swag, so you can get t-shirts, stickers, mugs, cups. So you can go to sonerdwear.com and search for Mage Productions to find all of our cool swag. And then once you find everything, and you can use code MAGE to get 10% off your entire order. Anything else?
I don't know. I think we actually got it all that time.
It helps when you write things down.
It does.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.